What's up, Oos? Main Event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me, about to get them, all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
What is that?
Oh, yeah, it's a World Cup holder.
Like the soccer tournament World Cup?
Holder. For the world. Fits every car, holds every cup.
It has a Carvana logo?
Yeah, Carvana made it. They buy and sell cars, so they made a car cup holder. So, got any good cups lately?
Used to, just couldn't figure out where in the world to put them.
The World Cup holder, brought to you by Carvana, proud sponsors of the World Cup holder.
Sign up today to win yours at cup-holder2026.com. Not authorized or endorsed by FIFA, not a real product, for parity and fair use purposes only.
Hour number four of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Monday morning, reacting to a big Titans win yesterday, 30-24 against the Baltimore Ravens in overtime to improve to 7-3 on the season. And Joe, at times yesterday, a rough go of things for Ryan Tannehill. He got crushed on that interception, and he probably shouldn't have thrown that ball anyway, but Tannehill just gets smoked on the interception in the first half. He took a couple of hits yesterday while I was really worried about whether or not he was going to get up, but he battles through it, hangs in there, and in the second half makes some huge plays and some huge throws to keep the Titans in that game. Ultimately throws the touchdown to A.J. Brown. A great individual effort by A.J. Brown, obviously, to get in the end zone there. Tannehill finishes 22 of 31 for 259 yards, two touchdowns, and just the one interception. Also had one of the weirdest fumbles I've ever seen in my life, with the ball coming out of his hand and him launching it out of bounds and then being down there. I think it was 3rd and 18 after that. Joe, what did you make as a whole of Ryan Tannehill's day yesterday against Baltimore?
Yeah, I think that was the wrong call too. It was interesting to see that call on the fumble, and then the Colts Packers game. Very similar plays. I think that it was moving forward and it should have been an incompletion. But regardless, you know, the guy Tannehill's 14 for 17 for 215, and the AJ Brown touchdown plus the keeper to score in the last quarter and a half of that game, you know? So, I mean, you're talking about just some big time, plays running the ball too. You know, that's another thing. So, on that drive, he had a 12 yard run, took a hit, went and got the first down, you know, got Firkser for first down, hits Davis for 22, hits Brown for 22. Those were catching runs, crossing patterns, but you know, had to get the ball out quickly. You had Quisenberry had to come in after one play of that drive because Sombrilo was hurt on the first play. And Tannehill just absolutely – I mean, it was just big-time quarterback play in the NFL. And, you know, of course, A.J. Brown gets more credit for that play. But even on that, you know, you get it out right away and you give him a chance to make that play. He put it right where he had to put it, and A.J. Brown did the rest. I mean, I just think that the last – few drives of that game, he was as good as he's been. I mean, he's obviously had a lot of great games and great numbers and all that stuff, but he was vintage Tannehill, and just in the nick of time, the Titans really needed it. And he was probably as bad, I think, as he's been for stretches of that first half.
Yeah, and look, A.J. Brown, Derrick Henry, Ryan Tannehill, they're going to get a lot of credit today, and deservedly so. I thought Corey Davis was outstanding yesterday. 5 catches, 113 yards, 7 targets in the game, had that 50-yarder as well. Corey Davis, he's having a good year. I thought he was great for the Titans yesterday.
He was, and you think about – actually, a couple of Tannehill's best throws came in overtime to Davis. It was a play-action play for 14, and if you remember that slant – 11 yards, it got to the Baltimore 44. That was a tight little window, snuck it in there. Davis he's catching everything. You know, he's catching everything. He had a couple of catches that were very difficult.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you had another Tannehill bullet to A.J. to get it close. And then I think the next play was Henry's touchdown, but right before that, another really great throw to AJ on the sideline. So again, this backs up that Porth got that called shot. Tannehill leading the winning drive, but he was really outstanding. Really, the last three possessions they had, and again, I know the Ravens are banged up, but they still have some good players up front going against a very banged up and rebuilt and reshuffled offensive line.
Joe, I appreciate the credit for the Tannehill called shot, but do I also get any credit for correctly predicting that the Titans were going to win this game and being confident going in?
Yeah, because I certainly wasn't. I think, well, you guys both picked them, right? I don't know. Did you think they were going to win outright, Robbie? I know Porth all week was confident.
No, I picked them to cover. I picked them to lose by 4. I think the line was 5.5.
Yeah, I picked him. I picked the game to go the way it was going, you know, through 2.5 quarters. And then to the Titans' credit, they totally changed it around. But you do get credit for that. However, I'm assuming this game did not go exactly as you envisioned, Porth, because it was certainly dicey there for a while.
I mean, exactly how I envisioned, no. But I knew it would be a back-and-forth game, and I just had confidence that the Titans were going to find a way to win the game when the Ravens have been finding ways to lose games against good teams.
And I'm assuming you're just, the sunshine is now going to totally evacuate you now that it's.
Yeah, is it already gone looking ahead to the Colts?
No, there's still a ton of sunshine.
Okay.
Ton of sunshine. It's still early. We're not, I mean, once.
The Friday show will be very interesting.
Right, right. Yeah. Once I have all that turkey on Thursday, I'm in a good mood. Got the mac and cheese and the hash brown casserole.
Oh, no. Here come the Colts.
Friday morning when the sun comes up, it's going to be, oh, boy. Here we go.
Well, Colts. You know what? You should hopefully the knowing that you've got leftovers waiting for you Friday will help cheer you up a little bit.
Yeah.
Make you feel a little bit better about
it. It's got to help, right?
We'll see. Yeah. We'll see.
Joe, do you think Ryan Tannehill proved anything yesterday in terms of, look, I mean, let's be honest. Without Taylor Lewan, Tannehill has not looked the same. I mean, that's been the way it's been since Lewan left the lineup in the Houston game. Did Tannehill prove anything to you yesterday in the second half, given the state of this offensive line, given how at that point they were on their third string left tackle? Did he show you anything yesterday in terms of, hey, he doesn't really have to have all the weapons available to him. He doesn't have all the protection available to him, but he got out there and did the job anyway.
Yeah, look, I mean, I think anybody who, and to me, I mean, I've been pretty bullish on him for a while now, you know, after all we've seen from him over, you know, since last October. But I would hope anybody who's like still talking like system QB or, you know, not a drop back guy, you know, just relying on play action. I mean, again, if you watch the last quarter and a half of that game, tell me that that he's just out there with everything going perfectly for him. Like Corey Curtis. Corey Curtis has been a bit of a Tannehill naysayer. Like, if everything's right, he's great. Well, everything wasn't right, and he was still great. So I would think that would prove something to someone who may have watched that. Doesn't mean it's always going to be that way. But I will say that in the first half, I was like, man, like, season is going the wrong way. And like even the guy who's been so consistent is now being affected by the injuries and just the makeup of the offense. It's just, he's got throws, he's got time, and he's missing these throws, and we're not used to seeing it. So he also proved that within a game, he can shake out of that and get into a rhythm and make big time throws.
Let's go to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ron text in, I've got to be honest. I feel like if the Titans played the Jets, it would be a close game because for some reason the Titans seem to play up or down to their opponents. In some ways, I kind of like that because it keeps us in games. What's with the love for the New York Jets today from the people? I don't get it.
Well, you know, the play up or play down thing, I think that's one of those terms that really shouldn't apply in the NFL, should it? I mean,
maybe when you're playing the Jets.
Maybe. You know, I mean, they're abysmal. They're 0-10. They are absolutely on the win never for Trevor train. And yet still, I can go back and look at these Jets games. Let's see. I see a close game against the Bills. I see another close game against the Bills. I see a 3-point loss to the Patriots, a 6-point loss to the Chargers. Now, you know, then you also have your Chiefs 35, Jets 9 weeks. But it's in this league, you know, I wouldn't be shocked if the Titans played the Jets Sunday and it was a one possession game. I wouldn't be shocked. I think it would be disappointing, but I don't know about, I think playing up and playing down is more of a college thing, younger kids. And there's such huge gaps between some of these teams. This league is, I mean, it's cliche, but I mean, it's every Sunday, anything can happen. And it's just wacky. And I still think that the Ravens, even in this current state, struggling, banged up and all that, still think that's a pretty good football team. I mean, I think that's a, as they stood yesterday on that field, I think that's a playoff team. Now, it's not like you just beat one of the top contenders in the AFC, but you beat a pretty decent football team.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Coy in Clarksville text in, I understand we need to get Derrick Henry going early, but we have two wide receivers that can get it done. We need to start feeding them the ball more. So what do you make of Coy's idea of maybe getting AJ and Corey Davis involved a little bit earlier in the game?
Well, I just think you want to have balance. And I think, again, that first drive was a perfectly scripted mix of everything and kept the Ravens off balance. They had a couple things we'd never seen before, and it worked beautifully. I mean, Davis was targeted 7 times, 5 catches for 113. Brown targeted 7 times, 4 catches for 62 in the big-time touchdown. So they're getting targets. You know, I think when Humphreys comes back, you'll see him utilized for certain. I mean, on those get the ball out right now plays, I think Tannehill and Humphreys still have a special bond. Although I think Firkser is almost kind of is the replacement for him too in some of that stuff. But man, hey, you still want to run Henry, right? I mean, you want to get to that point where the defense you're facing is dreading tackling him. And what you have to be is you got to be in position for that to matter. Because we've seen some games here where the defense hasn't let it matter. But Derrick Henry running the ball, I mean, I think Sunday at Indy, huge part of that game, being able to find success with that.
When we come back, was there a key intangible factor yesterday that led to the Titans' success against Lamar Jackson? We'll talk about that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, talking the big Titans win yesterday against the Ravens to improve to 7-3 on the season. And Joe, yesterday the Titans did a good job against Lamar Jackson. He had his moments where he was dangerous, made a couple of plays for the Ravens, but all in all, I think a pretty good job. Lamar held to 17 of 29 for a 186 passing, 1 touchdown, 1 huge interception to Amani Hooker. Lamar added another 50 on the ground. So, you know, had some moments where he broke out a little bit, but by and large, the Titans did a nice job of keeping him from totally taking over that game. How were the Titans able to do that defensively? And is that more on the Titans' defense, or are some of the problems that we've seen from Greg Roman in this Baltimore offense just gotten to the point where the teams have figured it out and there's not much that Lamar can do out there given the weapons at his disposal, Ronnie Stanley not being on that offensive line, and Greg Roman not having a great year as an offensive coordinator?
Yeah, I mean, like the run game for them, it's not what they want. The way they play, 129 yards is not good enough. 33 for 129, 3.9 a carry. Most teams in the NFL would take that all day, any Sunday. You know, 120-plus yards, they would take it. But the Ravens need, the way they play, they need more than that. I thought Dobbins had some good moments, and the Titans had some bad moments defending him. He ends up with 15 for 70. But I thought they really did a good job when Lamar kept the ball. I just thought they rallied to him and tackled him really well. He ends up with 13 carries for 51 yards. So you keep that portion of the game from killing you. And then, I mean, in the pass defense, look, they gave up the bomb to 31-yard touchdown to Mark Andrews. That was on Amani Hooker. But from looking at that coverage and then looking at the interactions with the Titans defensive backs, Edwards, I mean, Hooker just basically sort of drifted and let him get behind him and had to be in that zone, you know, had to go with him. There were some other times the Titans played a ton of zone yesterday, and there were some times when Andrews was just alone in the middle of it. One time Jackson hit him, one time he missed him. That was a big miss over the middle. Again, I thought, I mean, Jackson in the 2 minute at the end was just carving him up, and then Desmond King makes a big time PBU. You got to make those plays. Amani Hooker made Jackson pay for overthrowing Devin Duvernay, trying to take that shot that, you know, might have basically ended the game, and catches the ball and makes the play. So I think the Titans deserve credit. You know, I think overall they did what they want to do. You're talking about giving up 306 total yards in an overtime game. They'll take that. You know, they also were not great on third down. you know, they kind of got back to bad third down. The Ravens end up 9 for 15, and it was 8 for 11 at one point. So that means you finished 1 for 4, or defensively, you finished 3 for 4 getting those stops. I just think overall there are some encouraging signs in terms of some guys maybe figuring some things out, you know, good tackling, I think some better play in the secondary. But, you know, we're going to see. It's just a totally different kind of defensive game in this next game, which is the most important game of the season.
And I thought there were a couple times yesterday that the Titans did a really good job of just pursuing the ball when Lamar Jackson had it on those design run plays. Like, you think of Lamar Jackson, and I think a lot of people think, like, okay, the play breaks down, he scrambles away and can hurt you with his feet that way, and certainly he can. We've seen him do that when a play breaks down into nothing and he just takes off. But I also thought, you know, a big part of what the Ravens have done offensively, both last year and this year, is the designed runs for Lamar Jackson, putting an extra guy in there and just saying, hey, we can block every hat you send, and we're going to let Lamar Jackson do the rest. I thought the Titans did a great job at times yesterday of pursuing the ball and getting to the corner before Lamar could get there. Rashawn Evans made a couple of huge plays against Lamar in the running game yesterday.
Yep, I was just going to say, Rashawn Evans definitely had a good day. I mean, he made some big-time plays. You know, I think this is more his kind of game, but still, I mean, he was out there really flashing athletically, so he gets 9 tackles. I thought Kevin Byard on some of those, and one in particular, he just did a great job of setting the edge and not letting it get outside, stretching it out so that they can make the play. I mean, Byard and Evans are the two guys we talked about. You know, they got to step up. I mean, Byard ends up with 7 tackles and a pass breakup too. So, and a big one in the end zone. I thought it was a pretty big performance from him. It's just, you know, it's impressive, I think, for anyone to face that offense. For all the struggles they're having, you still have to change so many things, and it's an intense prep, I think, compared to the week to week in this league, when there's a lot of things that are kind of consistent from team to team. And this is different. So I think you get a lot of credit for that. Also, though, I think the matchup was better for the Titans than a lot of these matchups. And so now you get back to the more traditional passing offense that has really given the Titans trouble. But in this matchup, whether it benefits them or not, they still faced a lot of tough situations, and I thought just made some big plays, none bigger than, you know, Harold Landry in overtime.
And look, we knew it from the beginning. The intensity level in this game was high. We've talked about what happened in the pregame on the Ravens logo and Malcolm Butler barking back and forth with John Harbaugh, Mike Vrabel getting in the middle of all that. So, look, I mean, the Titans knew they had to have this game. This was a game where you had lost 3 of your last 4 heading into it. People were starting to ask questions about where this team was going to end up. You were 6-3 on the season heading into this game and were 9th in the AFC. It's just a weird year. A strange year, a really competitive year in the AFC. So this was a crucial game for the Titans, and you could tell early on that the effort was going to be there, the desire was there, and you heard Lamar Jackson talk about that a little bit after the game. Here's what Lamar Jackson had to say about the Titans' effort defensively.
Lamar, where do you kind of – I know last week you said you were a little frustrated after that loss. Where do you feel this team's frustration level is right now after this one?
You know, we just had 2 losses in a row. Games we, you know, we should have won. We had little hiccups in the game, but we still got to keep fighting through it. You know, that team, it looked like that team wanted it more than us. You know, they was playing physical. When we went up, I feel like, you know, we just took our foot off the gas, but we just got to keep it going.
So what do you make of the notion, Joe, that Lamar threw out there saying the Titans wanted it more? Like, it's easy to point to the A.J. Brown touchdown and say, yeah, he probably wanted it a little bit more than the Ravens did on that play, dragging their whole team in the end zone. How much of a factor do you think that was yesterday in the game for the Titans against the Ravens, or is that overblown in today's NFL?
I think it's just something a player says. It's just like, it's kind of the reverse of, sitting there watching that game, the Ravens wanted the game. I mean, yeah, they A.J. Brown broke three tackles and shoved Patrick Queen into the back of the end zone. But, you know, all of a sudden the Ravens stopped playing that play. They didn't want it. I mean, I don't buy that. It's just – it's like the opposite of when you hear players a lot of times say, well, it wasn't anything they did. It was us, you know. It's like it wasn't that the opponent outplayed you. It was like mistakes we made. They just wanted it more, I think, is just a thing that players say after games. And I don't buy it for a minute. I think the intensity of that game was every play from both sides. And you mentioned the pregame stuff. I think that ratcheted it up a little bit. You know, when they got the TD to go up 21-10, Lamar Jackson made sure to get a little bump in on Malcolm Butler. I mean, this was back and forth, hard hitting. Both teams wanted it. I think when Derrick Henry ran that winning touchdown, it wasn't against a defense that didn't want it. It was against a defense that was so exhausted that it couldn't deal with it anymore.
Yeah, when I hear you talk about, you know, wanting it more, if that was true, I mean, that would be a huge indictment on the Ravens. Given the situation they were in heading into this game, everybody's been, you know, spending all week talking about how your offense is done and everybody's figured out Lamar Jackson and Greg Roman. I don't buy the wanting it. I think that's just a lot of player speak after the game. But I think, you know, that's a way, if you're Lamar Jackson, to just put the blame on your team without giving the Titans the credit they deserve. I thought the Titans in the second half, they just simply outplayed the Ravens heading into that fourth quarter, and you saw the end result of it at the end. I think what you said is right. Like, to me, Derrick Henry running all over them in the fourth quarter and in overtime had nothing to do with desire. It's just, it's after so many times of trying to bring that dude down, he is a horse. Like, it's really difficult to bring him down, and that's what you saw. They were exhausted at the end of that game.
They were, and don't forget, you know, the winning touchdown, at that point, Tannehill had just gone Davis, Brown,
yep,
to get them into field goal range. So it was already kind of like, it wasn't over, but it was trending that way, you know, big time. So
I was really hoping for a Steven Goskowski kick to set up the game winner.
Stop it.
I was hoping for it. No. I wanted to see it.
No. Absolutely.
What if he would have made it?
Well, I would have gave him all the credit in the world, Joe.
But he's, what is he now? He's 15 for 23. So you would have been 16 for 24.
Yeah.
It's two-thirds.
Ooh, 66%.
Number three was the last guy I wanted to see on the field in overtime. The last guy. When they crossed the 50-yard line, I said, keep going for the end zone. Do not settle for a field
goal. But what a story it would have been. That would have been his, what, fifth game winner of the year? I mean, my goodness, this guy, you're talking about MVP conversation at that point.
You know, I mean, you think about that, just, you know, that's your typical running play. Derrick Henry easily could have gone for a yard or two. What were the Titans? Were the Titans about to start doing that and setting it up to where Goskowski likes it? We'll never know.
Where do you think he likes it the most? It's got to be left hash right now, isn't it? Have a little wiggle room for the push?
I would think so. Like I said, in pregame warmups, two in a row, he hit the left post. And I was like, I think he's actually trying to, like, hook, you know? Like, he's actually trying to send it the other way. But, yeah, it's got to be. If he could go, like, all the way to the left sideline, he probably would right now.
When we come back, Derrick Henry added another chapter to his story yesterday in the legend that has become his career with the Titans. Is he the most dominant player the Titans have ever had in the history of their franchise? We'll discuss that on the other side of the break. But first, Titans fans, Corner Pub is the place to check out the game, with locations in Bellevue, Brentwood, or downtown, and great beer specials, including $1 off of Yazoo and Happ and Harry's draft beers, plus Happ and Harry's bucket specials. Don't miss Nashville's best NFL pregame show live from the Corner Pub in Brentwood this Sunday. Join ESPN 102.5 The Game from 9:30 to 11:30 a.m. prior to the Titans taking on their AFC South rival, the Indianapolis Colts. The NFL pregame show features Jared Stillman, Floyd Reese, and former Titans wide receiver Chris Sanders, and is brought to you by Wholesale Inc., powered by Rumble On, Farm Bureau Health Plans, and Kubota Tractors, Middle Tennessee Kubota dealers. We'll be right back. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Now you know who your daddy is, don't you?
Hand to Henry. Henry handles the contact, and there goes Derrick Henry. Henry has got major speed for a big man.
If you want to play on this football team, you answer me when I ask you, who is your daddy?
Henry getting free. Henry's going to end the game. Titans take it in overtime.
Who's your daddy, Gary? Who's your daddy?
Talk about his second half surge. It just starts to wear you down.
And they win in Baltimore for the second time in 2020.
Is this your team? Or is this your daddy's team?
Yours.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, beautiful job by Ryan Porth, the daddy of the Baltimore Ravens. He proved it once again yesterday with the walk-off 30-24 for the Titans against the Ravens in overtime. Ryan Porth, I have perhaps never been more proud of you than I am right now.
Who's your daddy, Gary?
Yeah.
Who's what a your great daddy? Movie.
Have y'all watched Remember the Titans yet this year? I watch it like twice a year. I've already seen it. I saw it back when the quarantine began. It's time for round two, I think.
I think we watched it once during quarantine. I'm good. I could watch that movie 3-4 times a year and be happy. Watch it many times. Great flick.
Best movie soundtrack.
Pretty good.
Pretty darn good. Although, Robbie, you inspired what we just heard.
I did.
Because at the end of the game, what was your tweet?
I said, Derrick Henry showed Baltimore who daddy is once again with the walk-off there against the Ravens. And that brought up, I mean, earlier we talked about, like, he's got to be at the top of the list in terms of who, like, Ravens fans hate to see now. They're like, oh, God, it's Derrick Henry. He's going to run it right down our throat again.
Yeah, you're talking about two wins, and for all the bad things about 2020, for the Titans, two wins in that stadium in the same year, and Derrick Henry dominating in different ways, but dominating ultimately in the end in both of those games.
So that brings up the question that I wanted to throw out there today. Derrick Henry, look, we get it. He's been in just a crazy run right now for the Titans. He wins the rushing title a year ago. He was dominant in the playoffs against New England and Baltimore. He's been fantastic once again this year. Has there ever been a more dominant player with the Titans than what we're seeing out of Derrick Henry right now? Look, there have been a lot of good players here. Steve McNair won an MVP award along with Peyton Manning. Eddie George was a great player for the Titans. I think back to guys like Javon Kearse, who I think totally transformed what the trajectory of that 99 team was with his ability to get to the quarterback. They had a lot of really good players come in here. Corey Curtis from News 2 brought up Chris Johnson earlier and the 2,000-yard season that he had. But I'm not sure I've seen this sort of dominance out of any other Titans player like we're seeing right now from Derrick Henry. He's obviously the focal point. Obviously, every team's trying to stop him. That's the number one priority. And he's still just running right through people and put up numbers. I think he's got a good case as the most dominant player in Titans history.
Yeah, I mean, I think obviously Corey feels pretty strongly about, you know, Chris Johnson, and certainly that 2,000-yard season, like he said, like the second half of it, just an incredible weapon. He was must-see player in this league for sure. But I think already with Derek, you're talking about now you're talking about basically two full seasons here of being far and away the best runner of the football in the league. And just doing some things in that time. And it, again, it really started with that night against Jacksonville and that 99-yard run. I mean, from then to here, he has been just incredible, really. So I think, I mean, it's kind of early if you look at it that way, because really his first 2.5 seasons, there was a lot of ups and downs. And he still also had a great playoff performance in there, but you know, it took him a while. But I mean, these last 2 years, has there ever anyone with a stretch like that? I mean, McNair was an MVP, like you said, but was he a dominant player?
No.
It's almost, you know, it's. I mean, that word is, you got to take that word seriously. And what exactly does it mean? And that's what Derrick Henry, and I think physicality and just the overall physical gifts he has and the way he just kills teams late in games, that's where I think he stands apart.
Yeah, and like even Eddie George, I mean, he's a great running back for the Titans. And you look at, you know, 98 finishes with 1,294 yards, 99, 1,300 yards, 2,000, 1,500 yards. But you're talking about, you know, a different era. I mean, he had 348 carries in 98, 320 in 99, and 403 carries in 2000. So it's not like Eddie George is popping off, like, you know, averaging 5 yards a carry. I mean, he averaged, even the year he had 1,500 yards, averaging 3.7 yards per carry. So it's just a different time and a different league right now. I think Eddie George, as great as he was probably never quite as dominant as Derrick Henry is right now. Would you agree with that?
Definitely. I mean, I think Eddie George, it's amazing, really, when you look at Eddie George's career and the year after year volume of carries in a game where they did not protect players like they do now from helmet-to-helmet hits and just physicality in general in a time when practices were actually full contact way more than they are now. And for what he did over that period of time, the way he played, I think it's remarkable. But as far as dominant on the field, I mean, I think, you know, it's, I mean, Derrick Henry just has a different level of talent to me. And we're, you know, and we're still talking about a great pro running back who won the Heisman, but Derrick Henry is a different level of talent with all that physicality now that he's found it. Plus, oh, by the way, he's gone 90 yards later.
LeBron James never tweeted about Eddie George.
That's true.
LeBron James never tweeted about Chris Johnson.
That's true.
But LeBron James did tweet about Derrick Henry yesterday.
Noted Titans fan LeBron James on Twitter yesterday, giving Derrick Henry some love.
I mean,
Twitter didn't exist for either of those guys, but still.
Yeah, that's beside the point.
Hey, don't let the facts get in the way of good story, Joe.
That's right. That's right.
Especially after yesterday, I should say, I would put Derrick Henry number three of all time in Titans history in terms of, you know, Steve and Eddie. Everyone puts them 1-2, rightfully so. I said this after the playoff run last year, and he has done nothing this season to make me think otherwise that Derrick Henry is number three on that list of all-time Titans.
Now, are you talking about just in terms of overall career or dominance?
No,
because I think that's two different discussions.
Overall career. Dominance, okay. I don't think it's even close. Joe, I don't think it's too early to say that Derrick Henry is the most dominant Titan of all time.
Okay.
I mean, he, in my opinion, just takes over games at times, and yesterday late in that game was another example with a beat up offensive line was still able to help drag the Titans to a comeback victory.
Yeah, you know, when that word, I do think also, like, okay, are we forgetting a lineman in there? Like is Bruce Matthews deserve some kind of mention? I know a lot of his best years were with the Oilers, you know,
right.
But the poor linemen always get left behind.
Sure, I think Bruce
still
Matthews.
Still hard to argue.
Yeah, Bruce could be in that conversation. The two-year run that Albert Haynesworth had before the $100 million contract, he was a force on the defensive line.
I mean, even Javon Kearse, the first couple years with the Titans, like I said, I mean, he totally changed what the Titans were. Like, people forget the 3 years before they came to Nashville as the Titans, they were 8-8, and they couldn't get to the quarterback. You draft Javon Kearse in the first round. He has like 13 and a half sacks or whatever it was in his rookie year, and all of a sudden they're in the Super Bowl. Like, there are a lot of things that happened that year that allowed that to happen, but it's not a coincidence that Javon Kearse came in and the Titans took the next step. So you could probably put him in that conversation too, but I do think it's Derrick Henry. Like who would be the top three in that conversation? Henry, Chris Johnson, maybe Haynesworth? Like, how would you rank the top three?
In terms of just sheer
dominance?
Just
sheer dominance for the Titans.
I would probably put Haynesworth above CJ. I mean, CJ was awesome for those 3 or 4 years and a tremendous player. But if we want to use the word dominance, I mean, Haynesworth made Tony Brown look like a Pro Bowler.
Yeah.
Just right next to him. Kyle Vandenbosch looked like a Hall of Famer for a season or two because of Albert Haynesworth.
Joe, let me ask you this. Where would you put Jarrell Casey in this discussion at the top of his powers?
That's amazing. That's like some mind reading from hundreds of miles away. Like, I was just going to bring up Casey, you know, a guy who I think was one of the most underrated players in the league. It's, you know, especially he's playing for a really bad team and he's still out there. But I like my first year here, 2016, I remember man, this guy, people don't know how good this dude is. But I don't think that that was the level of what Haynesworth was in those, like you said, that brief time. I think Haynesworth was one of the clear dominant interior guys in this league. And it's a small sample size for him. It's a small sample size for Chris Johnson. You know, the thing with Derrick Henry is this may really be no contest of a discussion if he can stay healthy. Because, I mean, I just don't see him slowing down. I know that's a loaded thing to say about a running back because it does happen fast to guys, but talk about like durability and ability to take punishment and keep going. That's another part of dominance, I think.
Like yesterday when he got popped was the first time that I can remember him getting hit by a defensive back or a linebacker where I was like, ooh,
yeah.
he really got crushed. Like, he takes a lot of hits, but yesterday was the first time that I felt like he got popped.
Yeah, like he got hit pretty good by, I think it was Spillane earlier in the year against Pittsburgh on the goal line.
Yeah.
But then yesterday, yeah, that was the one time where you're like, man, he might be hurt. And I thought at first it was like a head thing, like with a concussion. And then you saw the replay and he's holding his left hand. So whatever it was, apparently he was okay because he came back in and dominated after that. But you're right. You don't see that guy get hit very often, and you worry about him taking the worst part of the hit.
And, of course, Spillane gets the big hit and then, like, comes off holding his shoulder. Even when people lay the hits on him, a lot of times they get the worst of it. So, yeah, yesterday during that hit, Tannehill after the game was like, I saw him up in the air and I was like, no. everybody's holding their breath for him. I mean, for a minute there, between Henry and Jonnu Smith, it was like, are they going to lose, like, every player today?
It was.
They managed to keep a couple.
It certainly felt that way. Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ben text in, says, Derrick Henry's stint might be shorter than CJ. I think you could make an argument that Derrick Henry's stint as a dominant player is already longer than CJ's was.
It's probably around the same time frame, because really it was the second half of 2018 when Derrick Henry went next level.
Right.
The 99-yard run against Jacksonville was kind of this galvanizing moment for his career, and ever since then he's been the most dominant back in the league. And that's over the course of now almost two full seasons. And CJ, you know, he had the 2,000-yard season.
He followed it up with 1,300 yards the year after, but really after that, I mean, there wasn't much
right
that was special for CJ.
His rookie year, he was awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he did. It's, you know, he had. It's interesting because he still had three more 1,000-yard seasons in a row, but, you know, four per carry the next year, 3.9 per carry in 2013. So he slowed down. He was still good, but dominant.
Right.
And plus, I don't know, man. I mean, maybe I'm just too old or something, but to me, dominant, I understand you can be dominant because of your speed. You know, like a guy like Tyreek Hill or whatever, but I still feel dominant is a physical thing. And, you know, I
mean, and Chris Johnson certainly wasn't that.
He was just a different back.
Yeah. Both really good.
He was fun to watch.
He sure was.
He might be the most fun Titan to watch ever, just with, you know, all the moves that he had and the game breaking ability.
Talk about another Titans running back that owned Jacksonville. Chris Johnson, Derrick Henry. There have been a lot of them over the years. Had some pretty good success against Jacksonville.
So, Real quick, do you think he was more fun to watch than Derrick Henry is?
I don't know. I'd probably give it to Henry.
Well,
I think I would too.
They're different. Like Chris Johnson, when he got to the second level, I mean, he was gone. There's nobody catching him. Now, there's
but
a
Henry
little bit of that to Derrick Henry too.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it wasn't the same.
Pummeling people.
Right. They're different. I would give the slight edge to Henry just because you never know what he's going to do. Like he could stiff arm somebody into the sixth row.
That would exactly. be a good poll question for a future day.
Maybe we'll do that. Maybe even this week. We'll see.
Maybe.
We'll see how that goes. When we come back, we'll take a look at the AFC playoff picture after Sunday's action in the NFL, including very disappointing performance for Titans fans by my beloved Green Bay Packers. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Final segment of the day here on Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Monday. And fellas, after the action yesterday, the Titans sitting in a pretty good position heading into this week against Indianapolis. We talked about it. They were ninth in the AFC heading into the Ravens game. They win the game, improved to 7-3, now sit in fifth in the AFC. So Cleveland at 6 right now, also at 7-3, Indy at 7-3, Buffalo at 7-3, Kansas City, great game last night on Sunday Night Football. They get the late win against Las Vegas to improve to 9-1, and then Pittsburgh still at 10-0. So Baltimore right now in 8th in the AFC, the Raiders, the Ravens, and the Dolphins all at 6-4. So still a very tight race, Joe, in the AFC.
Yeah, and you never know how this is all going to go, of course, but huge win for the Titans. You look around the league, you talk about tiebreakers. Now, it may not matter with the Bills because they're still in first in the AFC, but you've got one against them if you need it. Now you have one against the Ravens. Now a week after Sunday, huge one with playoff implications against the Cleveland Browns here in Nashville. So, you know, right now the Titans are 5-3 in the AFC, and you know, the Raiders lose to the Chiefs last night, so they take a step back. The Dolphins get kind of stunned by the Broncos. You got Fitzpatrick coming off the bench, Tua getting benched. So, you know, those two teams, no surprise really with the Raiders, but it was a great game. But the Dolphins, so a lot of help really for the Titans other than what the Colts did. But I still, I mean, regardless of the Colts beating the Packers, I mean, I look at this game and I think it's pretty simple. The winner of this game, I think, is going to win the division, and they're going to win 11 or 12 games this year. And the loser, still right there to get into the playoffs, I think. They both have some tough games ahead. But, you know, you got the division right there this week, and now you've helped yourself that if that doesn't work out. And then you really are looking at the next week as maybe the game that decides that. So you might be looking here back-to-back weeks at division decider, playoff decider right now. And then you get a schedule that eases up for you a little bit.
Yeah, things were looking great at one point for the Titans yesterday. You already won the game in Baltimore, and at halftime, Green Bay is up 28-14 on the Colts, and Rodgers had already thrown an interception by that point. They fumbled a center quarterback exchange and still found themselves up 14 points at the half. And then Indy just comes storming back in the second half. They shut down Rodgers in the offense, 2-3 and outs in a row. That's really the only time they had the ball in the third quarter. And then a fumble on a kick return by Shepard, and then a fumble in overtime by Marquez Valdes-Scantling. And the Colts pick it up, and then this is what happens right after that. Some reliable field goal kicking yesterday for the Indianapolis Colts.
Waiting on the snap. Blankenship is ready. Snap, placement down, kick is up, and it is good! The Indianapolis Colts, a huge win over the Green Bay Packers, 34-31. To keep their place atop the AFC South.
So, Joe, what could have been a very good day for the Titans yesterday was ruined by my beloved Green Bay Packers and Rodrigo Blankenship. That was a tough loss for the Pack.
By the way, I was driving away from M&T Bank Stadium back to my sister's house in Virginia, and I had the Packers radio network on for the Valdes-Scantling fumble.
I'm sure that was
thrilling.
They
took it very well, let me tell you.
I'm sure they did.
Amazing. Like, just an incredible game. My gosh. Man. And huge for the Colts. I mean, look, if you're the Colts right now, how are you feeling about things? You know, and things aren't perfect, but, I mean, Phillip Rivers is kind of on fire right now, and it wasn't that long ago coming into this game here that there was a lot different conversation about Phillip Rivers.
But doesn't that make you feel okay if you're a Titans fan? Like, Phillip Rivers is on fire and he's playing well right now, but you know, like, based on Phillip Rivers, what we've seen the last couple of years, that's going to, like, come crashing back down to earth at some point. Like, doesn't that give you a small glimmer of hope if you're a Titans fan?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, shoot, he almost threw an unbelievably bad pick while they're trying to hold on that lead, you know, yesterday. So, yeah. You know,
he was about a half a yard away from Jaire Alexander taking a pick six back to the house.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, if you're a Titans fan, that might be the difference this week if you can get him into one of those mistakes. I mean, they had one time in the game in Nashville, and, you know, Butler caught it but was out of bounds. But other than that, he was pretty solid. I mean, Hines killed killed Jayon Brown in that game out of the backfield.
Yeah.
And now who's covering him? I mean, the best guy to possibly cover him couldn't deal with it. And now who's that guy? I mean, their offense is, you know, with Pittman, you mentioned, with Taylor, maybe he's figuring things out. It is looking scarier.
It is. Let's go to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. CD text in, did we ever get a clear explanation of what happened pregame with Harbaugh coming onto the field and appearing to say something to Butler? Joe, unless I missed it, it was just the Titans being on the logo and gathering up at midfield. I think that's all it was.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. So a little bit of barking back and forth. You don't usually, you know, see the coach get into that necessarily, but he did, and then he called it irrelevant after the game. We've got the little video clip that looks like maybe he shook, or, you know, waved away Vrabel on a handshake. They both say they had a handshake. I don't know. I mean, it was, you know, Let's go back to the film.
Made it
a little more fun. Yeah, we'll have to. I would like to see. Like, someone's got to have more video of that, right?
You got 1,000 cameras somewhere in there. Somebody's got to have something.
NFL Films has to have
something. Yeah, I mean, come on.
Didn't the Titans do this before the playoff game last year?
I think so.
While the Ravens were being introduced, the Titans were out there on the logo?
Yeah.
Nobody saw anything back then.
They do it. They do it every week.
It's a little gamesmanship. You got
to
love it.
Well, then you know what? John Harbaugh and the Ravens, they need to grow up.
Yeah, just suck it up a little bit. That's going to do it for us today here on Robbie and Rex Road. Joe, Rex Road, safe travels back to Nashville, Tennessee, my friend.
Yes, sir. Thank you. 11 hours in the car with two kids who better not be ornery.
That's right. Going to be a fun time. We'll be back 6 a.m. tomorrow. Darren, Donick, and Chase coming up next. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.